Word of mouth.
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 From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. 4 years at Stanford with room and board, between $200,000 and $500,000. Cost of building a custom search engine, a few thousand bucks. 4 years at Udacity, the new educational venture founded by Stanford roboticist Sebastian Thrun, priceless. Literally, Udacity is free with the internet access and a modicum of self-discipline. The first will connect you to MOOCs, or massive open online courses, that can be simultaneously taken by thousands of global students. The second will keep you coming back. Kevin Charles Redman is a freelance journalist living in D.C. who wrote about the rise of MOOCs in his own Udacity experience for Pacific Standard and Prospect magazines. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Udacity, founded by Sebastian Thrun. Why have we heard that name? Who is this guy?
Well, Sebastian's a really interesting guy. So back in 2005, he's a artificial intelligence researcher and roboticist at Stanford, and he takes a handful of graduate students and undergrads, and they build a robotic car. And the Department of Defense is hosting this big competition to see who can drive 131 miles across the desert. And Stanford and his Sebastian and his students win this for Stanford. Gets them $2 million. And while they're out there testing this car in the run-up to the competition, the way that Sebastian tells it is they have a lot of time to talk. They're sitting in the desert. They're debugging this thing, making sure all the hardware works. And one of the things they talk about, as undergraduates will, are some of the problems with higher education. They talk about how privileged it is and how it's working really well for them, but there are a lot of students who will never get to go to Stanford or could never afford the tuition. So they're having these conversations, and they're sort of thinking, what can we do to change this? And the car goes on to win the competition. Sebastian goes on to work at Google. He maintains his professorship at Stanford, but he goes on to start the Google X Lab, which is their sort of secret lab there in Mountain View, California. And he works on building a fleet of robotic cars. You may have read about those in the New York Times.
Yep.
And he works on developing something called Google Glass, which are these futuristic sort of enhanced reality glasses we were hearing about earlier this spring. So it's sort of this skunk works of interesting projects. And all the while, he's sort of thinking about how he could still remake education. And then the way he tells it is that in 2011, he goes to the TED conference down in California, and he sees Salman Khan give a TED talk. And Salman Khan is this former investment banker who started making tutorials about algebra and geometry for some of his nieces.
So it says you can teach anybody anything online.
Exactly right. And he has this website, Khan Academy, that now has 3,000 videos. And Salman Khan teaches most of them, everything from stoichiometry to Cezanne to stochastic processes. And Sebastian Thrun sees this talk, and he thinks, man, you know, I'm only reaching 200 students in my lectures at Stanford, and here's this investment banker, and he's reaching 200,000. And that was sort of this galvanizing moment, the way that Sebastian tells it. So last fall, three of Stanford's computer science courses were put up online for free. You may have read about this in the New York Times also. Sebastian was teaching one of those, and two of his colleagues were also teaching one, and he got 158,000 students from all over the world to enroll. And he says that they got students from every country except for North Korea. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a pretty impressive figure if it is. And only a handful completed the course. And I think 300, slightly more than 300, got perfect scores. And none of them were Stanford students attending the brick-and-mortar lectures. And he said that by the end of the class, most of his students had stopped coming. They actually preferred to watch him online. They could rewind him when they wanted to. They could watch the lectures whenever they wanted to. And so there wasn't a whole lot of value in actually going to class anymore. And that was sort of the birth of this new academy, Udacity. And he launched it officially in January at a digital life design conference. And he says, I've seen the future. I've seen Wonderland. And I can't go back to teaching at Stanford again.
Right. You kind of crossed a Rubicon there. And you took part. You took one of these courses. First of all, what's offered? Or give us a little bit of a range. And what did you take?
Right. So I took Computer Science 101 because I'm a total neophyte and I didn't know anything about it. And some of their first offerings were CS 101 was how to build a search engine. So they have to do project-based courses. They try and teach you something over the course of 6 or 7 weeks. They now offer a full range. They've been around for about 6 months now. I'm taking Introduction to Statistics. It starts in just a couple weeks, and Sebastian himself is actually teaching that. They also have Introduction to Physics. They have Algorithms, web application engineering, artificial intelligence, cryptography. So they have everything from beginner courses to very advanced courses. And I started out this February taking a 7-week class that was very much an introduction for those of us who didn't really know a bit from a byte.
So you can actually be taking these massive open online courses or MOOCs with, you know, potentially hundreds of thousands of people. Online education, nothing new. But there's no financial pressure to succeed when taking a free course for no actual credit. So where's the skin in the game? What's to stop students from stopping anytime?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's one of the big Achilles heels of this. You know, it's really easy to send in your email address to register for the course. I think some of the first Udacity courses got about 100,000 people that all signed up, and about 30,000 of those finished the first lecture, even watched some of the first videos, and I think about 10,000 of those actually finished the class altogether. So the attrition rate is huge, but you kind of expect that when, as you say, there's no skin in the game. My sense is that a lot of the students who are finishing these courses and are taking them very, very seriously are from outside the United States. When you talk to the CEO of Udacity, this guy David Stavins, who used to be a student of Sebastian's at Stanford, he'll say that they get about a third of their students from the U.S., about a third from countries you might expect, Western Europe, and then a third from all over the world. And I think that there are a lot of young men in particular who have a lot of time on their hands, either unemployed or underemployed. They have access to an internet connection, and that's really all you need. And you can see this in the way that they spend time in the online forums that these universities have, and they'll bat back and forth these really cerebral questions about computer science. And you get the sense that some of them in the introductory classes are actually very, very talented, and they're sort of doing it to sharpen their skills and also to serve as mentors for other students.
All these are, you talked about computer programming, their engineering courses, statistics, a lot of important fields for the future. And right now the world is looking at, you know, a lack of skilled workers for some of the jobs that are probably going to be important in the future. But do these courses add up to anything? I mean, is it possible that they might actually be used as credited degree programs or studies? What'd you get?
Well, that's an excellent question. That's something that the founders of these online academies are trying to figure out also. I got a PDF certificate of accomplishment.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. So universities that are sponsoring some of these, so Harvard and MIT have both launched their own initiative.
Right.
They're calling it EdX, and that'll be going online this fall. Stanford, two of Sebastian Thrun's colleagues at Stanford have launched their own initiative. That's called Coursera, coursera.org, and they're sourcing material from a lot of different Ivy League institutions, including Penn, I believe Princeton as well. And so those universities are trying to figure out, they're willing to let their professors go online, they're willing to give away their curriculum, but they're probably not going to give away any kind of diploma or credit with the university name on it. They're a little bit worried about their brand. At the same time, Some of the leaders have suggested that maybe you could offer certificates that you could use to get into a university if you're coming from a non-traditional background.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you can point to the fact that you've taken six of these Coursera classes or six of these Udacity classes, that might be worth something in the admissions process.
So is Udacity ever going to make money? Is there a sort of financial model that might help support these kind of courses in the future?
Right. So right now, they're all being funded on venture capital funding, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of money in that. Harvard and MIT just took the money directly out of their endowment and funded their own venture. And I think what we're going to see is that Udacity is talking about using what's called a recruiter fee model. So if I'm a really, really bright student, and you found me in Latvia or you found me in Estonia, and the recruiters at Udacity will connect me with, say, Google or Facebook or Bank of America, they'll take my CV, they'll see that I've performed really well in three or four of these classes, I never miss a question, and they're going to say, hey, Facebook, hey, Google, I think maybe you should hire this guy. And if Google or Facebook takes me on as a programmer, Udacity is going to get a cut of my first year salary.
Uh-huh.
And often in the Valley, that's 10 or 20%. So
mm-hmm.
if I'm being paid $100,000 as a programmer and I move out to Silicon Valley, Udacity maybe gets $20,000 of that. Now, are they doing that now? Probably not, but that's the idea of where they're going. They may also be able to charge for forms of for certification or credit so that the course would be free to anyone. So I could take a Coursera course, and if I do very well and I decide at the end that I want some sort of credit from it, I can pay whatever their nominal fee is, and then I actually get something I can take home.
Well, Kevin Charles Redman, thanks for sharing your experience with us. And again, congratulations on your certificate.
Well, thank you so much.
Kevin Charles Redmond, freelance journalist. He wrote about studying at Udacity for the Pacific Standard. There's a link to his article, A Whole New You, and more on Udacity and other MOOC programs at wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, food trucks. They're springing up all over the U.S., offering good, cheap food to customers and roving targets for a new crime wave. That story when Word of Mouth continues.